A Podcast One production.
I'm Sammy Lucas, and I'm romantically challenged. I've often watched those TV shows like Maths and The Bachelor and First Dates and thought, okay, are those people on the show because they really think they're going to find true love or just because they want to be famous? Well, my guest today, Shannon, has spent 7 years casting people for reality TV dating shows, and she's agreed to spill the beans about the type of people who go on those shows, what they're expecting, and what she's learned about men and women from interviewing thousands of hopeful singles. Here's Shannon.
Hi, my name is Shannon, and I'm a woman in my mid-40s. I enjoy cocktail catch-ups with the girls, long walks around the harbour, and travelling overseas as often as I can. I've been working in television for over 23 years and absolutely love it. I've had one long-term relationship of 12 years, to whom I was also married. I'm ridiculously tall, so I'm searching for someone that can actually look me in the eye, along with just being generally a normal, glass half full kind of guy. Dating in my 40s has been hit and miss, but I'm not throwing in the towel and becoming an old spinster just yet. Here's to staying hopeful and never giving up on love.
Shannon, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, how tall are you?
I am just over 6 foot, like a smidge over 6 foot.
So does that mean you would not date a guy who's 5'9" and a half?
No, I have. Like, I've dated people. I mean, you can't be that fussy. I think every single woman in the world wants that, you know, their first criteria is he's got to be at least 6 foot. I mean, you know, all the shows like Bachelor and those sort of things, the criteria is the man must be 6 foot and over, even when we're casting for them.
Really?
So these are these things that women want. So most of my friends, God bless them, are like a foot shorter than me, and they all want someone that's tall. And I'm like, girls, can you just like save one or two for me? Because I just, on a practical level, need that. Yeah, it's so funny. But no, like my ex-husband was a smidge shorter than me, but he was very, like, he was a big guy, broad shoulders. Mm. And, you know, I think it's that thing as women that we just don't want to feel big around a guy. You don't want to feel huge compared to them. So that's probably part of it. But for me, it's obviously nice just to be on that eye line when you're standing there chatting to them at a bar or whatever.
We're going to get to the casting in a second because I have so many questions. But first of all, I have to ask you, you're a Perth girl. You moved to Sydney. Why on earth aren't, I keep hearing all the hot men are in Perth, in the West.
They are hot, but you know what? There are, and not saying this as a reflection on myself, there are so many beautiful women in Perth, like a lot of the top supermodels like Megan Gale and that sort of thing. So, you know, the newest bars open or whatever, and working in TV, we always, you know, used to get invited to all the latest places because Perth's just like a little country town anyway. And there'd just be all the beautiful people there. And there were so many gorgeous girls that, you know, the five hot guys would literally just stand at the bar and stand there. They didn't have to do anything. Everyone just went, oh.
Well, just quietly, you could pass for a supermodel anyway. But not every guy wants a supermodel, Shannon.
No, I know. And I think I was really thinking about this, knowing I was coming on, thinking about all the things I've done with my job over the years. And it's this funny thing that when you go out on the hunt, you know, casting for different dating shows, reality shows, what have you. Sometimes you're with people, other times you're on your own. You have this, I don't know, maybe it's that work persona that you put on. It's like, you know, your superhero costume where you can literally talk to anyone and you can walk up to the best looking person in the joint and go, hey, you're gorgeous looking. Mm-hmm. What about coming on this show and have a perfect chat with them? But when you're out just doing your own thing, I just struggle. Like I'll give the eye line and the look and think, yes, just come over and talk to me. And they never do.
It's so weird, isn't it?
It's that thing. I'm like, what am I giving off? Am I doing something wrong? And I think probably a lot of it does come down to being, you know, if you're physically quite a big presence, I think it is intimidating. Oh, that's what I've been told.
Okay, so that we can put everything into context here, you have been a casting agent for dating shows.
Well, right? I'm a television producer, so I have worked on everything from, you know, lifestyle travel shows, news. I worked on the footy show for a year, current affairs, all those sort of things. But yes, once I moved to Sydney, I'd say probably in the last 5 years, because they're so big, I predominantly have done a lot of work on, you know, existing established reality dating shows and then newer versions that popped up as well that are a little bit left of field. So a lot of casting as well as producing on the show. So you get to know people very well.
Are you allowed to say the names of the shows you've worked on?
Yeah, okay, so look, I have worked on MAFS, everyone's favourite, the big rating. I actually worked on the earlier versions when they first started on season 2 and 3, where it wasn't the big kind of Big Brother style that it is now. Take Me Out, First Dates. There was a new one that we created for Channel 9 called Date Night, which was actually based on sort of a little bit like Gogglebox style, but on the dating apps and sitting with your friends and swiping and then following them going out on the person that they met on that date, which was really fun. Another one, which was probably one of my favourite, was called Undressed for SBS, where they literally met and within 30 seconds of meeting and saying hello, they had to get down to their underwear and then do the date on the bed. I think that was probably my most favourite. It was the most fun.
I thought you were going to say that was the low light of my career.
No, it was great because really? It was also because it was SBS as well.
Sounds the questions. So tacky though.
It was, but it was an Italian format that came over here and they've done it all around the world and the Italians obviously hilarious. But it really made, because the whole idea behind it was take your clothes off, strip back the layers, you know, you get that sort of intimacy straight away. So the topics of conversation that we got them to discuss, like from world politics to everything, because it was on SBS, was just incredible. I was blown away at how much people got into it within this sort of 30, 40 minute date. It was crazy.
So you've met a lot of people, you've worked on a lot of these dating shows. I want to know what your perception of the people who audition is. Why do these people go on a dating show on TV? Because they're really looking for love, or because, let's face it, they're just looking for their little bit of fame?
I think it very much depends on the show and obviously the network it's on as well. Look, there's definitely a massive percentage out there, and I think it's more increased now in recent years with social media and people trying to gain Instagram followers, and you know, we hit to those pages straight away. Like if someone's got a big following, they look nice, you're going to hit them up because you, straight away that's viewership if they've got that following. Definitely a level of wanting TV, fame. I think they also do. I mean, as everyone wants to meet someone. So it's that kind of, oh, why not? Let's go on. It's a new experience. It's fun. And hey, I might fall in love at the same time, which is everyone's hope.
But what percentage of people are genuinely like really 100% just in it because they think they're going to find the love of their life?
Slim. Slim, yeah, okay. Yeah, and I think, I mean, I would have interviewed, I would honestly say thousands over the years of, you know, men, women of all ages, all states, all backgrounds, you know, and when there's some that really, they'll grab onto and you've done interview after interview with them and they're like, Shannon, this person you're matching me with, like, it's going to work. Like, they get so fixated, you're thinking, oh, God. I mean, they're going to be devastated if this doesn't. So the thing that I would always say, because I 100% believe that, is that if you're a great person, you've got a wonderful personality and you're putting yourself in primetime television, that's like prime real estate. That's advertising, hey, I'm single, here I am world. So whether it does work out with the person that they've been matched with or, you know, they are looking for, at the end of the day, they're putting themselves out there and it's a big risk to do that personally. So I think if you've got the courage to go that far, your intent on meeting someone, it's going to happen whether it happens on TV or after.
You just reminded me on MAFS a few years ago, I'm not going to mention names, but there was, you know, there's always that one couple that's a little older than the rest and it didn't work out for them. And the guy hit me up on Instagram. He messaged me on Instagram to go, oh, it's so-and-so here. Do you want to go out on a date? I was like, oh, God, no.
Yeah,
no,
hey, I'm a Z-list celebrity. Come on,
no,
Sammy.
No, I don't mean it like that. It's just like, no, thank you. So maybe they do get this sense of like, I'm single. Hello, world.
Exactly. And they've put themselves out there. They've got a bit of confidence because obviously everyone's building them up along the way. So, yeah, you know, I would never say don't do it, obviously. I'm not working in that genre at the moment, but doesn't say I won't be doing it again. And I think you just got to treat it that it's a fun experience. It's something that you might only do once in your lifetime. So just enjoy, you know.
It doesn't look like fun for some of the couples.
Some of them
head down a very dark path. So what percentage of people approach you versus you approaching them? Because we hear all these rumours about the casting agents just go to acting studios and they pick actors who look good.
I can hand on heart for all the shows I've worked on, never gone to an acting studio. I mean, we put, you know, there's websites, you put the casting call out, we'll have people on the street, which I've also done as well. So you'll go out, you know, maybe on a Thursday, Friday night and on Saturdays and you'll hit all, you know, the hot spots where it's busy. I mean, you can just walk through the normally when we're not in COVID-19 lockdown, you can just walk through the city, you know, at lunchtime on a Friday and just, you know, hit people up with flyers, have a chat. So it is pretty much like that. We do trawl through people's Instagrams and all of that sort of stuff. But no, I have never approached, we've never done acting agencies or anything like that. The old version of Married at First Sight, they actually stipulated when we were casting for that, you do not go to Star Now, you do not go to modelling agencies, you don't do any of that. We really, back then, because they had to live in each other's houses and go to work and do those sort of things, that they really had to be genuine and just real people. So
let's get down to the nitty gritty. You've literally interviewed thousands and thousands of singles for TV shows. What would you say from all of the chats you've had with all of the singles of all ages, what are the biggest challenges for singles in the dating scene?
I think, and it doesn't matter if you're 18 or you're 80, you know, most of the complaints are the same. Yes, we have this technology now which allows us to, you know, meet people easier than we ever have before, but I think it's just that choice. Everyone thinks they've got so much choice. So you might, and people have crazy long checklists of what they're looking for someone, which would differ from someone when you're 18, you're probably looking for looks. I want him to be hot and this and that. Mm-hmm. You know, as compared to when you're older, they might say, well, I want them to be financially stable. But they have these massive checklists and they go on dates and just they're ticking it off. And it's like no one's going to meet that checklist, you know, at all. And it's sort of like, yeah, no, oh, I can find someone else, jump online. Don't give people a second chance. So I think that's a big part of it. And I think all of us, including myself, we've all been guilty of that.
We had a really good piece of advice in one of the very earliest podcasts we did from a dating expert, I think, or a matchmaker, who said instead of creating a list of what you're looking for and what you must have in your partner, create a list of what you won't accept and work off that. So it's kind of like eliminating things that you don't want in a relationship or a partner.
That's true.
You can kind of work with the other things.
But don't you think, when you think of all the big love affairs of your lifetime, those checklists go completely out the window when someone walks in and you don't know what it is, they might not be your usual type and you've just gone, oh, what is it that I love about that person? And they could drive you crazy, but you don't care. So, you know.
So what do you think men and women are looking for in ideal partners? Like, is it different for what men and women are looking for?
Yes, it is. It is really different.
So what are mostly women looking for?
I think there's still, although, you know, as when we've come so far, you know, I don't want to generalise, but, you know, women are still looking for that tall, dark and handsome. They're still looking for that knight that's going to sweep in and save them and complete their lives, even though, you know, from everyone that I know has amazing lives on their own, they're working, they can take care of themselves, they're very self-sufficient. But I think it's just, I don't know, is it a biological thing? Is it that fairy tale romance that, oh, he's going to come in and everything's going to be perfect and amazing? And that's unfortunately not how life goes.
100%. I got news for you, lady. No,
that's
bizarre.
And I think men do still want to feel, you know, and not in all cases, but the majority, they want to feel in control and in charge and that they're, you know, the man. There's still a lot of that. There's still that really traditional values, I think, in people, even though we are so modern and we're using these modern techniques now. And, you know, if you just want to go out and get sex, you can. You can log on if that's what you're looking for and that's what you're into, you can. So
are you saying men basically want to be the boss and they want to feel like they have the power in the relationship, or they don't want a strong woman? Because Well, this is a debate we've had.
I'm really going on, really, I have to say now, my own experience as being, you know, the last date I went on, which was just a week before we all got locked down, I got called an alpha 5 times on that date and I didn't know how to take it.
Tell me about it. Okay.
And I'd never been called an alpha before and I had all these connotations of, you know, ball-busting women in the boardroom.
I'm thinking of Lucy Lawless. Yeah. Xena, Pat, was it Xena? Yes. What was her name? Warrior Woman?
And I was like, oh, okay. And he wasn't meaning it as, I don't think he was meaning it as a diss or, you know, but I felt a bit like, oh, well, how am I coming off? I'm not trying to dictate this date or do anything. I was just talking about, you know, just work and travelling. And, you know, he did on the flip side say, you seem really happy and happy in yourself and your life, which was lovely. But just getting called an alpha.
But wait a minute, how much did he know about you?
Not much.
So you'd met online, had you?
Yeah, it was the first date.
First date, face-to-face.
Yeah.
And in what context did he call you alpha
I was just talking about work and, you know, just even just random stuff. And he goes, you really are an alpha. And I said, no one's ever called me that before. I said, yes, I am, you know, a confident person. I've got a strong personality, but, you know, I wouldn't think I was this big, scary, you know, control freak that wants to take over the world. So I think guys are intimidated by strong women and, you know, if you're doing well.
Doesn't that sound like that was a reflection of his own massive insecurity?
Probably.
Just saying that not once but 5 times.
I know, it really threw me. And then, you know, we were catching a cab home and he said, oh, that was because, I mean, we chatted, we got along well. Like I wouldn't go, wow, you know, he's really hot and I want to see him again. But I thought, no, we got along really well. There'd be no reason not to give him a second chance. And so we'd sort of discussed in the taxi on the way home. Yeah, we'll catch up again. And I thought, well, I'm not going to text him. And I know he's expecting me, if he thinks I'm an alpha, to do all the legwork. And I thought, well, no, I'm not going to because I still want a guy to show he's interested and text me back. And yeah, didn't hear from him.
So, never heard from him again.
Nope.
He was scared.
Yeah, probably.
I've said it before. There's a quote that honestly, it means so much to me, is men think they want a strong, smart, successful, independent woman, want one until they get one and then they don't know what to do with her.
I think so. I think it is, especially I think if you know yourself well, you know, and look, I've got loads of flaws like everyone does and I'm working on those. But, you know, I think if you're generally happy in yourself and your life and you know where you're going, that does flow off. And I think people are attracted to that at first. They're like, wow. But then as time progresses on, you know, it might bring up insecurities in themselves. They start projecting that out. And then you're like, hang on, oh God. And then I start getting insecure going, well, am I not good enough? Mm-hmm. Am I not pretty enough? Am I not young enough? Because I'm feeling all these weird vibes from them. Mm-hmm. And it sort of just goes, psh. So yeah, it is interesting. But I've struggled with that over the years and thought, well, people have told me I'm intimidating. I couldn't be more warm and friendly when I meet them. I don't know what else to do.
You're not intimidating. He's intimidated. There's a difference.
So it's hard. I think at the end of the day, you just got to accept who you are and, you know, the right person out there will be fine with it. They won't find you intimidating. They won't find you too much.
They won't call you an alpha 5 times on a first date. What an idiot. Okay, I want to come to your dating life in a second, but I'm not finished with the dating shows.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Stay with me. Were you actually surprised when it worked out between people on a TV reality dating show? Doesn't happen very often.
Especially on the shows, you know, when you're matchmaking, it's exciting. Like it is fun. I wasn't going to lie. And I literally did, how am I looking at 6, 7 back to back because it just, your name gets out there and they're like, oh, we need Shannon for this show. So by the end of that, I was like, I need a break from love because it does get full on asking everyone the same questions. But it's exciting when you talk to someone and then they tell you these characteristics and you think, oh my God, I really think these guys are going to gel. And when it unfolds as you're filming it, it is exciting. Like it is like a buzz like no other.
Were you like a matchmaker amongst your friends before all of this? Because it sounds like it's a real skill for you.
And I love it. Like people were telling me at one stage, they said, Shannon, you need to go and open your own dating agency.
I was just thinking that we're going into business after this.
Because I went undercover to a few dating agencies as, you know, potential because I wanted to see how they ran.
I love this.
I know. And for some of the shows, we thought, well, we might need to employ them. So, you know, in case we have to try and matchmake some things up. And that was kind of scary and disheartening because they really do get you in. And I got to the end of, you know, one interview I remember and it was an hour and I had my colleague waiting outside. She was handing out flyers in the city and she was going to come back and get me. And this woman had me so convinced at the end of it, I was thinking, maybe I actually really do need to sign up.
You were going to pay her $20,000.
She was not going to tell me, not from the start, how much it was. And I kept asking, and it was just, and she was luring me in to be her friend and saying, oh, don't worry. You know, even men that say, you know, at that stage I was younger and I was hoping maybe I still would have a chance to get married again and have children. And I said, she goes, oh, you know, even men that say they don't want children, for the right woman they will. And she's going, I've got so many men on my books that would love you. And she was going on, and I was by the end of it going, maybe I do need to do this. Like, I really
you
got
didn't, did
sucked
you?
In. No, God, I couldn't afford it. When she said how much was the end, I said, I work in TV. I do not have that money. But it was crazy. And then I found out later on from some other people that had been in it, it's the same problem that we encounter as well, especially men of a certain age. We'll find that with trying to cast them for shows. Once you get to that late 30s, over 40s, to find any that are willing to do these sort of things or to go to a dating agency that are of quality that you want to look for is absolute slim pickings.
Let's talk about that, because we always hear about the so-called man drought. I feel like I've experienced the man drought. Uh-huh. Every single woman I know in every city of the world says that there's a man drought of single, available, decent, honourable, straight men.
Yep.
For straight women.
Yes.
Did you find it more difficult to find single straight men for your shows than for women?
Over a certain age group.
What do you mean over what age?
So from that late 30s onwards, it is hard. So if we got some amazing applicants that might be early 40s women and gorgeous and you're just brilliant talent, you think, wow, I want them on TV. Well, how are we going to find someone to match them with? And it's and usually, I mean, you do watch most dating shows, the people they get paired up with are usually 5 years younger than them.
Yeah, why
because
is that?
It's just, well, I think guys of that age, you know, they're a bit more traditional. They don't want to go on TV.
No, but why is there a shortage?
I mean, a lot of them are married, or if they haven't been, or they're going through, you know, a breakup at the moment, so they're not really ready. I don't know. And they are out there. I just think.
Really?
I just think also maybe we keep perpetuating this thought that they're not out there, they're not out there. If we keep saying that, well, they're not going to be out there, are they?
That's me. So just put me in
the
place.
We all do it. So.
So you think they are out there?
They've got to be hiding in the cracks somewhere. They have to be. But it is funny. Like I've gotten to the point, you know, last few years, anyone, you know, friends that are married, I'll say to them, like, guys, if you've got some friends of yours you want to, like, I'm happy, go for it, set me up. Because I've only even been set up once. And people are like, oh, no, we don't know anyone good enough for you. And I'm like, can I be the judge of that? Just, yeah. You know, like, I need some help here.
Well, this is another great tip someone gave us on an earlier podcast is when the friends would all say to her, I just don't understand why you're single. It doesn't make sense. And she'd say, okay, you set me up, find 5 men that you can set me up with. And yeah. They'd all go, Oh, let me think about it. No, I don't know anyone. That's why I'm single.
True. Yeah, true.
Okay, so we're setting up a matchmaking agency after all of this done.
Absolutely, we can do it.
Watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. But you kind of already ventured into it a little bit because I know you've hosted your own speed dating events.
Yes.
How did that come about?
So that came about, I just finished on the older version of Maths, and then Channel 9 were doing a new show called This Time Next Year. And myself and another colleague, they rolled us on to that show and they said, you know, there was at least 30 categories on this show. We're like, oh, great, let's have a break from the single and dateless. No, girls, can you do the love categories? And those ones are tricky because people had to pledge for a year, like, you know, this time next year I'll be engaged, or, you know, we had to find people that had never been kissed before, things like this. Like, it was crazy. So it was like, right, let's go out. So we hit quite a few speed dating events, and there was one company that was fantastic, and I think they saw the opportunity, like, well, if we let you and we help you out, they might use us on the show, which we did in the end. So we went to so many events, and it was fun watching it because I'd never seen speed dating before. And we went to, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 with this one company within a month. And then the marketing guy that ran them said, you know, you'd be really good at doing this. And I said, yeah, it'd be fun, but I don't know how much time I've got to, you know, dedicate towards it. And he said, well, you know, can you do one a month? I went, yeah, I could fit that in. Ended up doing one a week at one point. So I was hosting speed dating events for 18 months. It was so fun. They always put me on the age group categories that were closer to my own age, hoping that they might find someone for me at the same time, which didn't happen. It was very interesting. But again, men, I know you and I have talked about this before, Sammy, men don't get organised. They don't go and buy tickets in advance. They don't book these things with friends like women do. So mm-hmm. it was very often that that company would be scrambling and calling around members on the day to fill the spots so they'd have even numbers. So there was a lot of the same people, male-wise, that you would see every event.
Yeah, so there's the tip, men, yeah. single men, if you're listening, God. Like don't be shy. Like with the event I did, you're saying it yes. was speed dating events. Don't be shy if you hear about an event,
and
a singles event.
And you're going to meet some great women.
Ticket. There's lots of women
the
there.
The women were fantastic. you know, and it's not just 2 minutes quick. You know, they got a good sort of 7 to 10 minutes. It was decent time. You know, they had a break in the middle for food and everyone got to free mingle with who they wanted. And, you know, it was a fun night. You have a couple of drinks. It was actually fun. I loved watching it and I loved seeing if there was a bit of spark between someone and who was going to catch up later. It was great.
Is 7 to 10 minutes enough for that initial conversation to go, yep, I like you, I want to spend more time with you?
You can just tell by someone's... You know, I don't know about you, but I can sort of tell within 2 minutes if I like someone, just, you know, in general, if I think, yeah, you're going to be my friend or whatever. Like, you know, it's just that energy, that spark. I think you can. You can see past the, hey, what do you do for work? And have you been married before? All that stuff. You can.
So now that you have this wealth of information that you've got from all of the shows you've worked on and all of your speed dating events and all the people that you've met, has that helped you in your own personal quest?
I wish it had. I really wish it had.
Not at all?
I don't know. I mean, I've learnt a lot about people. I think for a time there with everything I was doing with the speed dating and casting and producing on those shows, I got fatigued by it. Like I got fatigued. And I think it is a dangerous trap and I reckon, you know, we're all guilty of it when we work in this industry that you can go on a date and you feel like in the end you're just doing your job. Because we love listening to people, you know, as people that work in TV, you're interested, you're intrigued by people, you ask the probing questions but not in a way that it's going to make them feel like, oh, and you gain their interest and their trust and they tell you everything and then you go, oh, that just felt like a therapy session. Well, guess what? That was probably my own fault because I just sat there and asked questions and acted interested and I didn't probably give much myself and then I'm upset that they didn't ask me anything about myself, but did I give them a chance?
Hello, yes, you're describing every date I've ever gone on. I get this all the time.
Yes.
That they feel like I'm interviewing them. One guy felt like he was in jail. I was visiting him in jail or something. So that's a great critique of my dating style. But that's really interesting that you feel that too. Like you go on a date and because you've worked in that, you know,
it's hard
industry
to switch
so
that off.
You feel like you're interviewing someone for a dating show.
You do. It's hard to switch that off. So I don't know. I mean, when I was doing the speed dating and I was working on those shows and like time, you know, I didn't have a lot of time to go out and date. And I remember I was chatting to three guys online and I thought, hey, if I host these speed dating events, surely I can do this for myself because I don't have 3 nights this week to catch up with people. So let's just do it in one night. So I did. It was a Friday night and I told everyone at work what I was doing and just in case because I said, guys, I'm going to do my own speed dating tonight. And they went, what do you mean? I went, I'm going on 3 dates. They said, how are you going to do that? And I went, I've got valid excuses of how to get to one at certain times and get out of them. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give this a go. So I did it. Completely plastered by the end of the night, obviously, with 3 dates. It was crazy. It was
fun.
What
was your excuse for getting out of date one?
Well, like, you know, first one, it's like, I can meet you quickly, but then I've got a friend's party to go to at this time. And then the second date, I'm like, I've got some work drinks, but I can meet you after that. And then same with the third date, I said, oh, I've got a function that I've got to go to, but I can meet you after that. And they're all in the city. And so I was racing all over the city, like the last date I was running to. And then I was feeling a bit like, oh, God, I haven't had enough water. And I'm chatting to him and I think he could tell. And he, like, pounced in. I think we talked for about an hour and a half and I said, I need to get some food. And as we're going down, you know, down the escalator to get to the next place, he just grabbed me by the back of the head, like my hair, and pulled me in for a pash. And I, because I was, like, not aware of what was happening, just went bang. I was like, oh, my God, yeah. No, my wits aren't about me. I'm not doing this again. This is not good.
This sounds like some kind of rom-com starring Kate Hudson. This is your life.
I honestly feel like I should, some of the dates I've been on and some of the things I've got up to, I really should have written them down because,
You could write a book about it. But wait a minute. In all of your casting that you did and all of the times you were out walking up to random men in bars saying, hey, do you want to be on a TV show? Were you not tempted to date any of them yourself?
Yes. Yeah.
Why didn't you? You don't say, I'll take first dibs, and if it doesn't work out, then you can go on the show.
Well, we all did that. We just, because you knew, but you get through this stage where you're talking to them so much. And, you know, it gets to a point where just professionally you can't. So, like, once they've, I mean, there's a lot of people I know that have hooked up with contestants after the show. So, once the show's finished and you're all good, I mean, I know there's one cameraman, he married one of the girls off Bachelor. They've got babies now. So, that does happen a lot because you're spending so much time with them. But, I mean, honestly, most of the people on these shows are, like, not in my age group. So, they're so much younger. So, yeah, it might be okay for a bit of a quick fling, a bit of fun, but it's not something you'd, long term. So I just don't really, entertain it. But honestly, if someone came along that was my age and they blew me away, I wouldn't say that I wouldn't.
Would you ask him out though?
Yeah, I would sneaky on the side later. I'd be like, I know that didn't work out, but you want to get a coffee? I would do it, but it just hasn't happened.
So you don't have a problem asking men out?
I don't love it, but I just think the fact that I just literally don't get people coming up to me, it just got to a point where I went, well, you need to put yourself out there. So many times when there's been a bit of a drought with my girlfriends and I, like, it's usually me, we'll be standing somewhere and go, girls, right, tonight we've got a challenge, okay? Everyone needs to go out there and get one number tonight just to challenge yourself and say you can do it and don't be scared. And when we go out and do that, you know, it happens. So I think you just do. You need to put yourself out there.
What about dating apps?
I use dating apps. Yep. I have, on and off for a long time. The last person I went on a date was from a dating app. I think it's like anything. You've just got to be in the right headspace and feel like, I'm just going out there and not take it too seriously. Like, I'm going to find the love of my life and I must meet the one on this app. If you do that, you're just going to feel so deflated and disappointed. You've just got to make yourself go, hey, I'm meeting some new people. I could get a great friend out of it. You know, I can't say that I've had any dates that have been horrid, you know. Like, mostly for me, a first date, I can have a good chat with anyone. You know, go out, pick a nice venue that you like and have a drink. It's not the end of the world. It's probably as it comes to the second and third dates, you get a bit more invested. That's usually sometimes when things go a bit pear-shaped.
So you don't think you're going to meet the love of your life on a dating app, or you're open to, or you think dating apps are really kind of just for fun?
I have said that. I've said that I didn't think I was going to meet the one on a dating app, but I shouldn't say that. No, and I know I've got five people I can think of straight off the bat that have been in long-term relationships that have met on dating apps, and they're really happy. So
what do you? So on your profile, do you say who you are, or do you say what you're looking for?
No, I put the fact down of how tall I am straight up, obviously, because that's a thing. And, you know, just say that what I do. I've had a lot of people say they don't want to date TV producers. Like, they've dated them in the past and they hated it. So I've had quite a few people say, oh, are you a TV producer? Oh, no, sorry, I wouldn't date you.
What?
Yeah. So whatever, they've obviously had some bad experiences with some TV producers.
What do they think you're going to do?
I don't know. That's literally just come on in a chat when they've found out what I've done and they've just gone, sorry, I can't go out on a date with you. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Well, I mean, I haven't met them, so I don't really.
You're up there with smokers.
I have got non-smokers, please, on there. And, yeah, like I said pretty much in my intro, you know, I am looking just for someone that is, I know it sounds so corny, but just that glass half full. There are so many sad, miserable people out there, which is not their fault. Yes, we've all got baggage and we've all had life experiences, but it's just how you play that is, you know, how things are going to turn out. So let's just, and I know at the moment it's hard with all this fear around and people are, you know, really challenged by it, but you've just got to look for the positives in life, you know.
How has COVID affected your dating? So you went on that one date with the alpha guy just before lockdown.
It was literally
started.
The week before. Yeah.
Have you done any like digital dating?
I sort of chatted a little bit online, but honestly, I'm the world's worst at texting and messaging. I find it so boring. I just love chatting to people face to face. So I was having some conversations, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to wait till this is over. And, I just messaged them and said, hey, good luck. And I said, it's been great chatting with you, but I'm just going to have a break from this and, you know, just focus on other things.
What if this goes on for another 2 years?
Well, it could. Look, I've had dry spells of 18 months, Sammy.
Hey, I think that's where I am right now.
Honestly, I honestly have. And, I mean, up until then, I was seeing someone up until around mid-November last year. It was just a new thing. It was a few months. But from mid-October to early March this year, I literally was only in Sydney for 4 weeks with travel, with work and all these things going on. So that put the kibosh on that one. It sort of fizzled out. And that happens to me a lot. So I'd already had this, you know, 4 and a bit months of just travelling and not even thinking about dating. And I literally got back to Sydney and went, right, you better get stuck into it. Went on the first date next week. Hey, everyone, let's luck down. I just went, okay. If I start chatting to someone and there's literally been, you know, 5 messages and it seems like they're normal and a bit of fun, I'll go, hey, do you want to meet up? Because I cannot stand it. I'm not one of those people that could be messaging for weeks and then have a few phone calls and go, oh, now let's meet. I know that sounds bad, but I just want to meet you and get it over with, because if we don't get along, we've not wasted lots of time on each other. And if we do, then great, then we can plan another date. So, yeah, I don't know. And I know you can do FaceTime and all these things and do your virtual date, but, oh.
Not for you?
Yeah, I'm just so much a person, like, you know, I can read someone and feel their energy straight away when I meet them, and I think that's more important.
See, I think you can get a little bit of that on FaceTime.
Probably.
Over the phone, if you're just hearing their voice, no. Yeah. But when you can see them and you can sort of read their body language.
Look, I'm not saying no. I mean, I don't believe this is going to go forever. In my mind, I'm just thinking we've probably only a few more months and they'll relax things a bit. So, yeah, I mean, if it goes on for a year, sure. We are going to have to resort to some stuff, aren't we? But in the meantime, like, oh, God, what's a couple of months? And, you know, I'm just not one of those people that gets bored.
Okay, so what are you looking for? Ultimately, other than over 6 foot?
Well, yeah, someone, essentially, if they're around my height, would be amazing. I think my biggest thing that if I had a list and we write a list would be my equal. That would be at the absolute top of the list. And, you know, maybe I'm asking a bit too much, but, yeah, just someone that, you know, just similar. They don't have to have pots of money or anything like that. Just they know themselves, they're happy in themselves, they're emotionally stable. You know, they just want to go out and, you know, be a bit adventurous and have some fun and travel the world when we're allowed to again. And, you know, and they know, like, they've got some goals with their careers and that sort of thing. You know, it doesn't matter if they've got kids or they don't have kids or whatever the case may be.
So you just want your lives to be compatible.
Yeah. And also just that they're happy in themselves, that they don't need you around 24/7, because that's been a big thing for me. With being, you know, sometimes when we're away on shoots, we're doing 14-hour days and you just, that's been a problem with some people. They're just like, oh, you give so much to work, and they make you feel bad about enjoying your job. And, you know, it's obviously maybe they don't have enough going on, or, you know, or you spend too much time with your girlfriend. It's like, well, no, like I would always make time for the right person, 100%. So I think someone that is just secure in themselves, you know, they don't feel threatened if you have a win at work and get a pay rise or whatever. It should be let's celebrate each other's wins, not feel insecure about it.
Well, I think he's out there for you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. This has been so fascinating talking about dating shows and behind the scenes, and we are going to talk further about this matchmaking agency. Shannon, thank you. It's been amazing, and I really, really hope you find what you're looking for.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me. It's been so much fun.
Romantically Challenged was presented by me, Sammy Lucas, in collaboration with Podcast One Australia. Sound production was by Matt Nikolich, and the executive producer is Jenny Goggin. For more episodes, go to podcastone.com.au, download the Podcast One app, or look me up on iTunes.